We talked about how in the place of Ephesus, man, it was a wicked town. It was a place where they would worship these false gods, and they would take these chunks of silver, and they would carve out these idols, and they would sell these things, and they would make money. And the temple there where that false god was, it had so much money in it, it became the Bank of Ephesus, one of the biggest banks in the world at that time. And people would go there, and they would hire the temple prostitutes, and there was all kinds of wickedness here. And then amongst all that, you had a church. And in this church, you had God's people. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter and says, hey, you Ephesians, you church, you guys need to be different. There are some things about you that people ought to know is just different. You ought to seem different. You ought to smell different, so to speak. And so he starts giving some of those things. And the amazing thing is, these things are so simple. I mean, they're things that I'm teaching my boys now, our parents taught us when we were little. I mean, things like, hey, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it all, anything at all, right? They would say, hey, don't lie. Be a hard worker. You know, you shouldn't cheat. You need to be honest. These are just the basic things. Tonight, though, one of the things he starts talking about might seem simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. You see, that's something that we need to understand, that there's a difference between. And I would even say that's the same thing is true of salvation. You see, salvation is simple, but it doesn't always mean it's easy. Because sometimes people, they understand, yeah, hey, I got to put my trust in Jesus and I have to surrender for my sin. But you know, I like my sin. That talks about the Bible when he talked about the rich man, right? There was the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler, he understood the gospel, but it was a hard thing. He didn't want to give up the things that he had. So sometimes things are simple, but they're not easy. What about this one? We're going to take a look today at some of the things we're going to call our attitudes. Because we can understand how an attitude might be wrong, but it's not always easy to control our attitudes, is it? It might be easy for me just to say something, but then to do it. Let me give you an example. I remember, and I might have told you guys this before, but I remember when I was a teenager, I got it in my head I wanted to learn to play golf. So I had a set of golf clubs, and I remember I went out to a driving range not too far from my school. I'd go out there for half an hour after school, and I'd buy a bucket of golf balls. And I remember out there, I would take the ball, and I would sit it there on the tee, and I'd take a swing, and whack, I'd hit the thing. And then sure enough, that ball would just go, and it would hook off this way. And then eventually the guy that run the place, his house was down there. He looked at me, and he come riding up on a golf cart. He said, do you know what you're doing? I said, no, not really. And he said, well, why don't you let me teach you something? He started giving me a few lessons. And, you know, the idea of you take this club, you smack that ball, and you get it in that hole. That's simple, right? But it's not easy. See, the same thing is true with some of our things that we do in our Christian life. I can give you the simple basics of it, but to work on it and to do it, it's not always easy. So this is one of the things that we're going to look at today. And primarily, we're going to be right here in verse number 31. We're going to take a look at some of these things that he said we ought to fix, we need to work on, and they're not going to be easy. It's going to be simple to understand, but we're actually going to take some time. We're going to apply this to our lives, and we're going to work on them. So let's go ahead and take a look at these. There's five of them. So here in this scripture, we're going to see five what we can call sort of like attitudes that we really need to avoid, because these things are sin. And these are things that will hurt us if we let them take control. If we don't work on these things, they will hurt us. So let's go ahead and jump in. What's the Bible say right here in verse number 31? We've already read it one time. The first one he says is, let all bitterness, and then he goes through the list, and at the very end he says, be put away from you with all malice. So the first one I've got to put away is bitterness. Now, what's he mean, putting away with malice? It means I'm actually going to, with a great desire, this is something I see in me, I need to get rid of it, I am going to put it away, I am going to be strongly opposed to this now. I see it in me, and I need to get rid of it. Like, if there's something I see that's going to hurt me, I want to get rid of it. The other day, some of you guys saw this. We were up here at Martinsdale. We were fishing, and there was a rattlesnake that come floating along right there next to our boat. And what did we want to do? We wanted to get away from it because it was going to hurt us. And we were serious about this thing. Folks, these are the way these attitudes are going to be. And the first one is this. He said, it's bitterness. Now, what is bitterness? And we're going to spend probably a majority of our time here, and the other ones will kind of actually go along with it just a little bit. But the thing we see about bitterness is this. It is something that can get a root and can get down inside of us And it's an attitude that really, for the most part, just hurts me. It's almost like I could say, if I see someone, I'm bitter at that person. It's almost like a deep hatred. I see this person and these emotions start growing towards this person. And if I don't take care of it, that root will start getting deeper and deeper. And if you know anything about roots, the deeper a root gets, the harder it is to pull out, isn't it? I remember once I tried to uproot a tree, and a buddy of mine, I tried to do it with my pickup, and that didn't work. And then a buddy came over and tried to do it with the tractor, and that didn't work. And before long, we just whacked the thing down and left the root in there because we could never get it out. You know, if a root gets deep enough, the longer it stays, the harder it's going to be to get rid of it. So what is the big deal about bitterness? Well, I want to show you this. First of all, bitterness is a sin. Bitterness is a sin. He just simply put right here, you need to get rid of bitterness. If it's in your heart, if you are bitter towards someone, if you have a hatred towards someone, it's a sin. So you're saying, preacher, it's wrong for me to have ill feelings towards someone? Yeah, it is. Now, that doesn't mean I would never be displeased with someone's actions. Let me tell you something. You realize that when we sin, when we disobey, God is displeased with our actions. The Bible even says, we just read it in that other verse, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If I do something that's sinful, it grieves God. But that doesn't mean that God has a hatred towards me. Now, God hates sin. Doesn't mean God hates me. Now, it is wrong for me to have a hatred towards someone. So what happens is this. Maybe I'll be walking along and I'll be trying to talk to someone. I want to carry on a conversation with them. And I'll look over to them and I'll say, hey, man, how you doing? I hope you're having a great day today. And I'll try to be friendly towards them. And they just, you know, maybe they'll just stub their shoulder towards me or something. They won't even reach out and shake my hand. How dare they not shake my hand? You know, I'm a friendly person. And I just can't believe it. I took a shower. I smell good today. Well, what do they got against me? You know, and that's what will happen. And then the next thing I know, I'll start getting angry towards them. And all along, they just didn't even know I was trying to shake their hand. But they have no idea how angry I am starting to get. Now, this anger is going to grow, and it's going to grow. Now, every time I see that person, I'm going to start to feel that sour feeling. And if I don't take care of that, that is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I need to uproot that. And that bitterness is a sin. And can I say this about bitterness? This is where we mess up. When I get angry towards someone, I say to myself, I am angry at that person because they did this to me. I can't believe they would do this to me. How dare they do this to me? See, it's all about me. Can I say this? If we are bitter, that is my problem. If I am bitter towards someone, it's because of me. And most of the time, the person I'm hurting the worst is me. You know, so maybe I feel like I'm justified towards this guy. Man, he didn't shake my hand, so it's right for me to be angry towards them. You know, they even told a lie about me. They gossiped about me. Now I'm justified to be angry at them. And so now it's starting to get with me. You see, if you know, there's another word that goes along with bitterness. It's unforgiveness. If I am unwilling to forgive someone, that is a problem between me and God himself. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 32. It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me ask you. Did I deserve for God to forgive me of my sin? I mean, what did I do that was just so great and wonderful that God says, man, Trevor, you've been so good, you've earned your forgiveness. No, he didn't say that to me. I have never earned my forgiveness, but God loved me and he forgave me. So likewise, if someone wrongs me, even if I feel, of course they wronged me, I should be justified in how I feel. No, the Bible says you need to go ahead and forgive them anyway. You need to go ahead and get rid of that bitterness, get rid of that sin, and you need to get things right, not necessarily between you two, but between you two. It's a problem with me. It is a self problem. And can I say this too? Bitterness, while it's a problem with me, I'm also hurting myself. I said it a minute ago. I'm hurting myself more than I'm hurting anyone else. When I see this person and I feel like I'm bitter towards them, and they'll say, well, you know, they didn't shake my hand yesterday, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to say hey to them anymore. I'm just, you know, I'm not even going to grace them with my presence because, you know, this must be so wonderful them to be in my presence. So I'm not going to do that to them anymore. And I start to try to punish them is what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at this guy and say, I am going to punish you by giving you the cold shoulder. Hey, that's a form of bitterness. I'm just going to give them the cold shoulder because, you know, they're that person that's just how it has to be. Well, watch this. Again, if that person doesn't know, you know who that sin and that hurt feeling and who has that bitterness? It's me. There was this one guy, and I apologize, I didn't look up who the quote originated with, and I believe it was Aristotle. But he said, bitterness is when I look at my enemy right in the eye and I drink a glass of poison. And really, that's what bitterness does. It's when I look at my enemy and I want to get back at them, but I just go ahead and drink that poison for myself. Because bitterness is not going to hurt them. If I just decide to keep my sour spirit and I just decide, you know, I'm just going to stay angry, I'm not going to forgive them, well, I'm going to go to bed angry. I'm going to wake up angry. It's going to hurt my countenance. It's going to take away my happiness. You know, when that person, maybe when they walk into the room, it sucks the joy right out of my heart. And no one else, it doesn't hurt anyone else, but it's hurting me. It hurts my ability to be a good friend. It hurts my ability to be a good husband. It hurts my ability to be a good father. It hurts my ability to be a good Christian, to be a good church member. It hurts everything because it is hurting me. That's my bitterness. And so what we have to do is this. We have to ask ourselves, is there any time that someone has hurt me and I feel like it's okay for me to be mad at them? It's okay for me to give them the cold shoulder. It's okay for me to be upset with them because, you know, they didn't shake my hand. So this I'm justified. We do feel that way. And it's amazing because this is something that's so natural to our flesh. We see this with the smallest of children. You know, they stole my ball, so I'm going to kick them in the shin. They didn't want to play with me, so I'm not going to play with them. I'm going to take my ball and go home. You know, and then they get upset, and they're going to try to teach the other person a lesson. You know, we call that our sin nature, that thing that we deal with, that thing that we're born with, and it hurts ourselves. And folks, can I say this too? Bitterness is also harmful to God. And let me explain myself when I say that. Now, I would never say that God himself can be physically hurt. I mean, he's God. He's all powerful. But watch this. God is hurt in his heart. Because it just said in the verse before this, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. When we sin, it grieves God. Watch this. When you get saved, who moves in? The Holy Spirit does. Now, when I have got the Holy Spirit living and indwelling within me, and now I've got that bitter spirit getting down in there. Folks, the Holy Spirit sees it. That grieves the Holy Spirit. He gets tore up over my sin. And then furthermore, what happens to my testimony? If I'm a person that just lets bitterness grow and grow and grow, maybe it's just one person, maybe it's 10 people, whoever. But if I have a testimony of being just an angry, bitter person, well, that guy over there, he's just always upset at somebody about something. It's just never good enough for that guy. Oh, that Pastor Trevor, he's just, you can't make him happy, you know. Now, what is that saying about God? Because people are going to look at me and they're going to say, man, well, what's your deal, Trevor? You're supposed to be a man of the cloth. I mean, you're supposed to be this Mr. So-and-so, and you're supposed to represent God, and how come you're always so upset? You see what that's doing? Now that is hurting the testimony of my Savior. That's hurting who I'm representing. And if we are children of God, and if we live with angry, bitter spirits, and if we are always giving people the cold shoulder, if I am finding a reason to be justified in my anger, well, then now I'm not only hurting myself, but I'm hurting the testimony of God. And to an extent, we also hurt those around us. I believe it does hurt. If I'm bitter, I believe it hurts me the worst because I wake up angry, I go to bed angry, I'm just sour, I'm upset all the time. But watch this. If that's who I become, now what am I doing with my kids when I come home? You know, I'm going to walk in the door and I'm just having an upset day and I'm mad at everyone around me. Well, now that's my children's dad. That's who they're seeing. And you know, now my kids have got a bitter and angry, upset daddy. Now my wife has got a bitter and upset husband, and my whole home is suffering because I can't forgive someone. Because I can't just get this root of bitterness and just deal with it. You see, this whole thing of bitterness, it's something that's why I said it's so easy to understand. It's so easy just to say, go ahead and forgive this person. But it's not easy to do, is it? That's why we say it's a simple idea, but it's hard. Because we feel justified in being angry. Now ask yourself that same question. How many times has someone hurt you, and then you say to yourself, yeah, it's okay for me to be upset at them because, you know, I'm just going to be mad at them back. They got mad at me, so I'm going to be mad at them back. Hey, this person, you wouldn't believe the gossip they said about my son. Now, did you hear about what they said about William? I just can't believe they would say that. I'm just going to stay mad at them forever. I'll never talk to them again. And then we let that thing grow, and that's going to hurt us to our core. Folks, that bitterness doesn't fix anything. In fact, it hurts everything. It doesn't help at all. So what we see is bitterness. It hurts us. It hurts others. It hurts the testimony of God. And at its core is unforgiveness. God said, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to forgive one another because Christ has also forgiven us. So here's our fix for bitterness. When I reach out my hand, and this is all, you know, figurative here. When I reach out my hand to shake someone's hand and maybe they, you know, stub me the cold shoulder. Maybe someone gossips about my son. Maybe someone, you know, badmouths someone that I love and someone I care about. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter what the offense is. If I'm offended, I've got a choice. I'm either going to, A, choose to stay angry at that person, which accomplishes nothing. In fact, hurts everything. Or B, I'm going to say, you know what, Lord? That's okay. I'm just going to go ahead and forgive them. I'm going to carry on. Lord, you saw all the sin that I have. You see the sin that I do every day. Lord, you forgave me and I didn't deserve it. They don't deserve that forgiveness either, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to them. And you know what that does? That bitterness that's causing me harm, that bitterness that's hurting my home, that bitterness that's hurting the testimony of God, if I can just get over myself and forgive that person, that bitterness gets gone. The Lord puts it away. What have I done? I have put it away from me. I have gotten rid of it. And now I can get my joy back. Now I can get my relationship with the Lord back. And probably, if you'll watch, you'll even get your relationship with that person back. A lot of times. Because that bitterness, it may even be something as simple as a misunderstanding. Oh, I didn't understand. I didn't know how you were trying to shake my hand. I'm sorry. Come here. Let's make this thing right. And we can make friends with that person. And folks, it's amazing to see what bitterness can destroy. Now, these other four, they follow after bitterness, and a lot of times they go together. Let's continue what the Bible says in verse number 31. So he says, let all bitterness and wrath, and then he goes into anger. But these two are actually a little bit different. What is wrath? Man, wrath isn't a word we talk about too much, but he says wrath is this thing, it's almost like we have emotions that just kind of well up in us. I know this one gal, she used to say this. When she would get upset and she would lose her emotional control, she would say this. She'd say, man, I just got so mad I couldn't even see straight. You know? And you know what, if you've ever experienced this, that's almost a thing. You know, people say, I just got so mad. I couldn't even control myself. My emotions just took over. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone that is so emotional, they let their emotions take over control. It is a fierce, burning heat where we lose control of our emotions. You know what happens is when we do that? We start making some really bad choices. We make really bad choices when we make them in the heat of the moment. How many of you have ever heard of something called a crime of passion? Right? You probably heard of a crime of passion. That means just in the heat of the moment, man, we got into a fight and we were just arguing, and next thing I know, I was just on top of the guy. I was beating him up. Oh, that's a crime, and you did it in the heat of the moment. It's a crime of passion. You didn't want to do it. It just kind of happened. See, that's because they let their emotions get out of control. How many of you have ever said something in the heat of the moment that you wish to goodness you could take back? Right? Yeah, we do that, don't we? Because our emotions overtake us. Here again, it's simple to understand, but it's not easy to do. This is where we have to take this wrath and we have to keep it in check. We have to not allow ourselves to be controlled by our emotions. Folks, emotions are not always a bad thing. In fact, emotions, if they're in the right place, they can be a good thing. You know, the Bible talks about we love Christ because, man, Christ loved us. Our emotions can guide us to do good things, and because I love my wife and I love my kids, it drives me to want to take care of them and be good to them. But if I allow bad emotions to take over, it'll cause me to do bad things. So we really have to keep these things. He says specifically this wrath, this fierce heat of emotion, this type of anger is wrong. Which he pairs that too with this next one when he says anger. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. And anger. Now, we just talked about anger a little bit ago. If we were to go back to verse number 26, we talked about this one. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Do you remember what we talked about there? We said that a person can be angry and that be a good thing. Because Christ himself, God himself, gets angry. There are times when anger, if it is in its right place, it is appropriate. That's why the Bible says, be angry. Just don't sin while you're in your anger. Folks, when we go back to the Old Testament, we see the Israelites, when they disobeyed God, God Almighty was in heaven. He said, all right, Moses, or Abraham, you just need to go ahead and, or no, it was Moses. Moses, you just get out of the way. My wrath, I'm going to let it wax hot, and we're just going to have our, you know, have it be done with this, and Moses, I'm going to start over with you. God was angry because of sin. So anger, if it's in the right place, yeah, it can be good. So now how come here he says, get rid of anger? Well, when you look at this, he means anger in this way. How many of you have ever heard of the word vengeance? When you're vengeful. Hey, that's almost something we would say today, almost to mean revenge. Someone has done something to me, now I'm going to get back at them. You know, it's vengeance. I have to vindicate something. That is our anger being acted on. That's what's wrong. That's when something becomes sin. And there again, we even see that in kids, don't we? Man, you stole my juice box, so I'm going to steal your cheese crackers or something. You know, I'm going to get back at you. You did this to me, so I'm going to do it right back at you. You lied about me, well, I'm going to lie about you. Man, you spread gossip about me. I'm going to gossip about you back, and I'm going to start a doozy. Man, I'm going to make up a big, juicy story about this guy. And that's the way we think. We feel okay about that. But when my emotions and my wrath begins to take control, that's when anger has its way. That's when anger has its place, and it begins to make my decisions for me. Listen, it's not okay for me to feel like I can get back at someone. When someone wrongs me, we need to remember this, and this is what's difficult. When someone wrongs me, whose job is it to take care of me and to take care of that person? It's God's. It's God's. Now, if it comes to something with maybe the law, if someone runs over my mailbox, yeah, they should pay for that mailbox, and there might be some insurance stuff getting involved there. Or if someone breaks the law is going to take care of that. It's not my job to take the law into my own hands, is it? In fact, that's a very bad idea. You realize it's the same thing when it comes to the Word of God? If someone sins against God, and I am the recipient of that, it's not okay for me to take God's place and to deal with that person. Watch this. Let's pretend I am the one that someone got bitter against. Someone was trying to talk to me, someone wanted to shake my hand, and maybe I didn't even see it. Maybe I did something towards this person and I hurt them and I just didn't mean to. I absolutely didn't mean to do it. Now here they are, they're bitter against me. They start gossiping about me. Man, they're angry at me. They're yelling at me. They're spreading rumors about me, whatever, but they are hurting me. Now here's what I have to decide. Is it my job to take the justice of God's word into my hands? Or is it my job to go to this person, try to make things right, and then let that be between them and God? You see, God's a part of this whole thing. Yes, I go to this person and I ask for forgiveness and I try to make it right. But if they are choosing to be unforgiving, if they choose to stay in their bitterness, it's not my job to take God's job into my hands, is what I'm getting at. The Bible says vengeance is mine. I do my part, and then God will deal with the other person. So it's not my job to be vengeful. That anger, I need not to act on those things. Folks, acting out of pure anger, it's never a good idea. It's almost like this. And maybe this is something that we should practice. You know, if you ever feel these emotions of anger coming up, and we all probably have done this. We feel something, and then we say something that an hour later we think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You know, I wish I could take that back. You know what would have been better? What our parents used to tell us? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Maybe we ought to just close our mouths for a few minutes, walk out of the room, get my spirit back where it's supposed to be with the eyes of God, and then I can open my mouth. Because if I let my mouth open in the heat of the moment, and I let my mouth open and words come out while I'm being controlled by my wrath, anger is going to come out. And that's what's a sin. It's when I am controlled by those things. Folks, let's not be people of anger and vengeance. Now look at this next one. Here's number four, and we got two left. And these are all good things, or, well, I say good for us to know, they're bad for us to do. This next one is one that's a very interesting word, clamor, in your Bibles. It says, let all bitterness, we know that one, wrath and anger, we understand those, and clamor be put away from you. Now, clamor is an interesting word to be used there. And I'm going to try to apply this to us the best way we can. But clamor is this. It's almost just like an annoying, repetitive noise. It's a noise that people make out of confusion when you study the definition of it. Now, what would we say, if you could think to yourself for a minute, what are some noises that people make that are out of absolute confusion that do absolutely no good for anybody? In fact, probably do harm. I thought about two of them. The first one that comes to my mind would probably be this thing of me complaining about someone else. If someone comes to me and here I am again, I'm just rattling on, I'm just making noise, I'm just sighing, I'm grunting, I'm having a hard time with this person, and then I go on complaining about this person because, hey, we're in the context of bitterness and anger here, right? And now I am voicing these things about someone else. Maybe I'm gossiping. These noises, these things that proceed out of my mouth, they're for absolutely no good. You know, when things just don't seem to be going my way, I want to let everyone know about it. I'm just going to be that angry, grumpy person all the time. I'm just going to have a sour look on my face, and everyone's going to know that I'm angry. You know, I don't like the way that new air freshener smells. We need to get rid of that thing. You know, I'm just. And it's silly that we would be upset about those things, but we do sometimes, don't we? This is clamor. This is us making just these noises out of absolutely no benefit. So if when we complain, or what about when we argue? Yeah, how many of you have ever heard the expression, man, that guy could argue with a brick wall. It doesn't do any good to argue with that guy because he'll never listen to a word you've got to say. Well, that whole conversation, you can already know that's not going anywhere. He's not going to listen to you. You know, I can try to go make things right with this person, but I'm not even going to talk to him because it's useless. Useless words, useless noise. See, these are things, again, that shouldn't be said about us. I'm not going to be someone that just carries on and makes noise and argues and complains and just makes these reproachful sounds against me and against the testimony of God. I'm not going to be that guy. I want to be the guy that when I speak, things come out that make for peace. Things come out that make for joy. Things come out that glorify and praise God. Because as a child of God, that's what we're called to do. We're called to promote the things of God Himself. And then the last thing we're going to see is this. Evil speaking. Evil speaking. So He said in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So what are we going to learn here with evil speaking? Well, it's very simply this. Slander. Or specifically, if we're talking about God, that would be blasphemy. When I am actively trying to cut someone or belittle someone. Here's something that we've seen and we've experienced this. Maybe we've even been excuse me, maybe we've even been part of it. Have you ever seen someone that the only way they feel good about themselves is when they put someone else down? You ever seen that? Maybe you've experienced that. Hey, if I can belittle this guy, well, yeah, that makes me feel good. I'll push him down a little bit, and that'll lift me up. That's, you know, slander. That's cutting someone down. When we start talking about gossip or in the things of God, when we blaspheme against God, when we take things that are holy and we talk in evil way against a holy God, folks, we don't want to do that. So here again, if we're talking about the context, though, of within for the Ephesian people within the church, they're talking about being bitter and angry towards one another. Why would I ever purposefully cut down my fellow brother or sister in Christ? Why would I ever go about gossiping about someone that's a child of God? This person is someone that loves God. Hey, they're trying to do right. They're growing. They're working on things. Are they perfect? No, I'm not either. So why would I slander against them? Why would I take an opportunity to cut a child of God down? Because there again, none of us are where we ought to be. And if there's anyone that can be made fun of, it's probably me. I need to go look in the mirror because I know there's a lot of things that I can be made fun of for. So why would I ever do it to anyone else? So this thing of evil speaking, folks, we shouldn't put people down. In fact, the Bible says this. To the opposite of that point, you know, the Bible says as Christians, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to care for one another. The Bible says we come to church that iron sharpens iron. That means every once in a while when I'm out in the world, I'm getting a little bit rusty. I'm getting dull. I'm going to come into church and I'm going to spend some time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to sharpen one another. And we're going to talk and say, hey, what have you got going on? How can I lift you up today? The Bible says that I ought not to look to my own things, but every person to the things of everyone else. I ought to figure out where I can help someone. How can I build this person up? I'm thinking of a guy right now that he always made it a point to make everyone smile. No matter what it took, he would just always be, he was joyful, he always had a smile on his face. He really didn't have a whole lot. He wasn't a wealthy man, but I want to tell you something. He always, always, always had a word of encouragement. He'd come to you, he shook your hand, he smiled at you. He wanted to do something to make you smile. And that guy, because of it, he was the most well-liked and enjoyable person that was in the entirety of that church. Now, how is that? Because he always lifted everyone else up around him. And that's the way we ought to be. And if every Christian can be that way, if every person that I talk to tried to lift me up, every single one tried to lift me up, boy, I'd be getting lifted up pretty high. And the same thing would be true about everyone else. Imagine if every person, say we're in a group of 100, if 99 out of the 100 people there come to you and were just trying to lift you up, were trying to encourage you and bear your burdens, and you were in turn trying to bear theirs, that would be a wonderful, happy place. And folks, can I tell you, that's what God wants for his church? Because he's told us that right here in the book. So we don't come to cut one another down. In fact, sometimes it's our nature that when someone messes up, we want to kick sand in their face while they're down. And that's the opposite of what God would have us to do. In fact, he wants us to reach down and try to pick one another up out of the mud when we do fall. Folks, we want to care for one another so we don't slander. We don't hurt. We want to lift one another up. So what does he say with all this in verse number 32? He wraps it up and we'll be done here. So we're going to put those things away. I don't want these things in my life. I want to get rid of them. And instead, we're going to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That means to an extent, we're just going to go ahead and put up with one another. Because is everyone going to rub me the right way? Nope. And when they do rub me the wrong way, I'm going to go ahead and forgive them. I'm going to go ahead and make things right. I'm going to be tenderhearted towards that person. I'm going to show them the love of God, even though they don't deserve it, because goodness knows I didn't deserve it. I'm going to show it to them as best as I can. And in that way, we can honor God. Because the last part of that verse, if you notice it, he said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, we've got the forgiveness, and we also ought to forgive others. So I want to ask you this question. You go ahead and ask yourself, even now. Any of these five things that we've just talked about, Could you say they could be found somewhere in your own heart right now? Could you say there might be a root of bitterness there, maybe even from years and years ago? It doesn't have to be right now. Some people are bitter towards people for 25, 30, 40 years. Folks, bitterness can last a long time. It'll be there as long as we let it. Is there any bitterness that we need to deal with? Wrath and anger? What about clamor and evil speaking? These things all kind of come from the heart. And it's like we said to begin with. This is a simple thing. It is simple for me to say, we need to be kind. It's simple for me to say, we need not to be bitter. It's simple to say, hey, don't let your emotions take control. But that don't mean it's easy. And for us to go ahead and do that surgery and get rid of that root of bitterness, sometimes it's hard to do. It's easy to understand, but it's hard to do. And folks, with the help of God Almighty, if we will humble ourselves before Him, He'll take care of those things. Let's have every head bowed and have every eye closed. And for a moment, I want us to meditate on that scripture. Folks, He told us very simply and very plainly, these are some things that we need to put away. With malice. That means with this great desire, we need to put them away. Is there anything in us, maybe anyone, that we could say bitterness is starting to grow in? Is there anyone that we haven't been showing the forgiveness in the sense that God has also forgiven me? If there is, why don't we get that right today? Our Father, we love You. And I pray that You would speak to our hearts and for what we've seen out of this passage. Lord, You've showed us how some of these attitudes, these things that we have, how they can affect our actions. And Lord, I ask that our attitudes would be right before You and that You would show these things to us, be there any way that we need to get right with You. Now, Christian, this is our time to be able to do business with the Lord. So with every head bowed and with every eye closed, this will be our time just to do some business with God. Maybe there's someone right now you're thinking of that bitterness has started to take hold. And you know, it could be a situation where that person doesn't even know it. That means this bitterness is between you and God. Is there any measure of unforgiveness towards someone? It may be a situation we need to forgive someone, and you know what? Once we've forgiven them, it'll probably even happen again. And then we'll go ahead and forgive them again. It's all about us being right with God. Our Lord and our Father, we love You. And Lord, we're so thankful for the Son of God that came to earth as a man and died on the cross to forgive us of our sin. Lord, we have done nothing to deserve that forgiveness. And likewise, we understand no one around us has earned our forgiveness. But Lord, may we also forgive them because You forgave us. May we live peaceably with all men. And help us to put away with malice this anger and this wrath and these things of bitterness and slander. Lord, help us to be holy the way You would have us to be. May we live as the way You would have us to. And I ask as we get ready to leave here now and go our separate ways, Lord, I pray as we go out into the rest of this week, into the world around us, that, Lord, You would help us to be lights of the gospel. May people see You in us. Lord, in every opportunity we get, may we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love You, Lord, and thank You for all it is that You do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.